नारायणमाश्रित्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं दैवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायसपद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवयां भगवतिरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from the Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, entitled The Forest of Enjoyment, Text 17. So the fifth canto, most of the chapters don't have a particular meter, so I'll try my best to read the verse. Kadācin manuratha pagata pitri Pita mahādya sad sad iti svapnam निवृत्तिलक्षणमनुभवति कदाचिन् मनोरथोपगतपित्री पितामहाद्य सत् सद् इति स्वप्नम् निवृत्तिलक्षणमनुभवति translations kadachit sometimes manoratha upagata obtained by a mental concoction pitri the father pita maha adi or grandfather and others asat although long dead and although no one knows that the soul has gone Sat, again the father or grandfather has come. Iti, thus thinking. Swapna nivritti lakshanam. The kind of happiness found in dreams. Anubhavati, the conditioned soul feels. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Sometimes the conditioned soul imagines that his father or grandfather has again come in the form of his son or grandson. In this way, he feels the happiness one sometimes feels in a dream, and the conditioned soul sometimes takes pleasure in such mental concoctions. Responsively, sometimes the conditioned soul imagines that his father or grandfather has again come in the form of his son or grandson. In this way, he feels the happiness one sometimes feels in a dream, and the conditioned soul sometimes takes pleasure in such mental concoctions. Purport. Due to ignorance of the real existence of the Lord, the conditioned soul imagines many things. Influenced by fruitive activity, he comes together with his relatives, fathers, sons and grandfathers, exactly as straws gather together in a moving stream. In a moment, the straws are thrown everywhere, and they lose contact. In conditional life, the living entity is temporarily with many other conditioned souls. They gather together as family members, and the material affection is so strong that even after a father or grandfather passes away, one takes pleasure in thinking that they return to the family in different forms. Sometimes this may happen, but in any case, the conditioned soul likes to take pleasure in such concocted thoughts. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Manchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaham Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna.
So we are reading what Sukadev Goswami is explaining to Maharaj Parikshit about what Jat Bharat had explained to Maharaj Rahugana. So Maharaj Rahugana initially was instructed by Jat Bharat about the forest of material enjoyment. But Parikshit Maharaj wanted more explanation on this analogy. In the Bhagavatam, we find very many sections that explain philosophy in terms of stories or allegories. Like in the fourth canto, we have the story of Puranjan. How Narad Muni is explaining Puranjan's situation, or rather is explaining Prachinabhari's situation using the story of Puranjan. So similarly, Jat Bharat, to get Maharaj Rahugana out of material entanglement, gave a similar story. He gave a story about a person who enters the forest and then is plundered by so many living entities and suffers so many trials and tribulations. So Parikshit Maharaj wanted more explanation on this, and therefore he asked Sukadev Goswami to reveal the deeper meanings of this analogy or allegory given by Jat Bharat. We find in this particular verse that conditional life is a life of bewilderment. People do not know what the truth is, and they make up the truth. Based on their mental concoctions, they think whatever that they are thinking is true. But the truth is always something else. The Bhagavad Gita explains that this material world is a world of death, Mrityuloka. Everyone has to die, and everyone here is struggling for existence. Manashashanindriyani Prakriti Sthanika Shati. Everyone is struggling for existence. But the conditioned soul, he thinks that by maintaining his family, by maintaining his relatives, by maintaining his society, community, nation, so on and so forth, that struggle for existence then ceases to be there. He thinks by surrounding himself with his family members and friends and community and society, then he will be saved from death. Sukadev Goswami explains this to Maharaj Parikshit. Deha patekalata grishva atma seneshasa tapi tesham pramata nidanam pashyanati na pashyati. That one who is so engaged in material life, he keeps himself busy with family, relatives, society, community. And although he sees that whatever he is trying to maintain is not permanent, he still becomes blind to the fact. Right? Pashyanapi na pashyati. Although he is seeing, he does not see. The example is given, just like the son sees that his grandfather has gone, sees that his father has gone, he also knows that he will go, he knows that his sons will go, but still he thinks, no, I need to maintain my family, I need to maintain my status in society, I need to engage in fruitive activities that will help keep the status quo. So although he is seeing, he does not see. When the Yaksha asked Yudhishthira Maharaj, there were a series of questions he asked. So one of the questions the Yaksha asked Yudhishthira Maharaj is, what is the most wonderful thing on this material world? So Yudhishthira Maharaj replied that the most wonderful thing is that when a person goes to a crematorium and sees that someone is dying and the body is getting finished, he still thinks that he will not die. This is the most wonderful thing. Right? So we know that the body is temporary, the body has no permanent existence, but still we engage in fruitive activity and activities that will maintain the body and bodily relations. Therefore, one who is too attached to family, he thinks that by the help of the family members, he can avoid death. And the whole material world is running around with this principle. Right? Everyone is working hard to maintain the family, to maintain relatives, to maintain the society, thinking that when they will need help, the family members will help him. It's like we read in the story of Gajendra. When Gajendra went to take a bath in the river and the crocodile had caught hold of its foot, initially Gajendra looked towards his wives, his sons, his other family members, but none of them came to help him. In the end, he was left struggling all alone with the crocodile. So this is the fact that we have to understand. Conditional life means we think that, oh, the family members will save us. You know, if we get sick, they'll rush us to the hospital, they'll make sure we get the best doctor, the best facilities, and somehow or other, we will be saved. But if we have no family, then who will take care of us? If we have no family, who will save us from death? This is materialistic thinking. Right? But one who is intelligent, he knows that all these people that I am seeing, all of them are fallible soldiers. Just like in a war, the king sends so many soldiers and he knows 80% of those soldiers will not come back. They're just there to die. Right? Yudhishthira Maharaj also, after the Mahabharata war, he started regretting that because of him so many people just lost their lives. Right? So, an intelligent person, he knows that these family members, other people, society, friends, relatives, they're all fallible. They will all die. There is not one person who will be able to keep the body that he has. We are forced to leave this body. Either we leave it voluntarily or we are forced to leave it. So one who is intelligent then, he understands that these people are fallible. But because people are in ignorance, they become bewildered. And they do not see this fact, that everything in this material world is temporary. And what is this ignorance? Why are people ignorant? Because they don't know who they are. If you go and ask someone on the street, who are you? He will say, I am Mr. Such and Such. I work in such and such a place. I live in such and such an area. But that is all temporary. When we go to sleep, then we don't remember who we are. Or when we are dreaming, we are thinking we are someone else. We forget completely what our normal state of consciousness is. But similarly, when we are awake, we don't remember the dream that we dreamt last night. We don't remember what happened over the period of the night. So even when we are awake, so-called awake, we are also dreaming. We're dreaming, oh, this is my family member, this is my father, this is my mother, these are my sons, daughters. I am such and such person, I work at such and such a place. That is also a dream. Because the reality is the soul. So as long as we don't inquire about the soul, we are in a dream state. We'll be dreaming. Whether we are awake or whether we are sleeping, both conditions are dreaming conditions. Only when we inquire about the soul, jivasya tatva jigyasa, or athato brahma jigyasa, that is when we stop dreaming. That is when we stop dreaming. Therefore, Mahaprabhu says, jiva jago, jiva jago. This jiva jago doesn't mean that, you know, we wake up from sleeping. It means we wake up from the dream that we are dreaming. Kota nidra jao maya, pisa chira kole. We've been sleeping on the lap of maya. Right? Thinking that, oh, I am such and such a person. But we need to wake up. This waking up means coming to understand that we are the spirit soul. That is who we are. And when we act on that platform, then we are awake. Otherwise, we are simply dreaming. So the ignorant soul, he wastes so much time and energy in maintaining this dream. Like a child on the beach, here we have the Juhu beach. So you may have seen children, they try and make sand castles, right? And sometimes they spend 4 or 5 hours making the sand castle, but when the tide comes, everything is finished. So that is a useless energy. Energy has been spent without any profit. Similarly, when we are so engrossed in maintaining our material relations that are connected to the body, right, then we're simply wasting energy. And this bodily connection is so strong, right? Just for example, if you're sitting on a plane and another person from your area comes, right, if you're a black man and another black man comes, immediately you'll go and talk to the black man, right? Although there are so many other types of men sitting on the plane, you say, no, this person, you know, bodily, same color. Immediately we make a relation based on the body. But then we need to understand that actually these all relations are temporary. It's like the example is given in the purport, like the straws that accumulate in the river. They're only there for some time. Right? It is not, Bhagavatam is not saying, no, we don't maintain the family, right? That we cut off all relations. No, it's simply we understand that these relations are not the end. It's just a temporary situation. It's just a temporary situation. And what is the goal? The goal is to understand who we are and act on that platform. Just like, for example, if we take a train from Mumbai to Delhi, then we'll spend some time with the passengers, you know, 16 hours or so, with the passengers in the train, right? And we engage in some small talk or do some preaching. But it is not that after the train reaches Delhi, we start saying, oh, now you are my family member, let's go, you know, I'll give you accommodation, I'll give you prasadam, I'll take care of you. No one does that, right? Because the goal is we want to reach Delhi, you get off the train, whoever you met, you met, you may never see them again, that's okay. Same thing with this material world. We come, through our karma, we are connected with other living entities, and through that connection we are supposed to find out who we are. Not that we get entangled in that connection, so much so that we forget to ask what is the important question. So this is the situation here, right? That we waste so much time maintaining these family relations at the expense of what is real, what is important. And we think, doesn't matter if they are not able to protect me, in this body, doesn't matter, I'll come back again as the son or the grandson. And that's what Sukadev Goswami is saying here. The bodily concept of life is so strong that we think, no, I will get the same family members even in my next life. Right? Just like here in India, there's a popular saying that the husband and wife will remain together for 7 lifetimes. And they pray that we live together for 7 lifetimes. This is the kind of illusion people are in, right? Even within one lifetime, we can see that they never live together the whole time, right? It's not possible, right? The husband did not know the wife before marriage. After the marriage, he knew the wife and he said, I wish I didn't know her. Right? Because totally opposite of what he thought. So, same thing. Right? Everyone is in a dream. Right? The husband thinks, oh, I'll get such a nice wife. You know, she'll serve me, she'll do this. Right? And then as soon as marriage happens, everything changes and they wish that the dream has become a nightmare. Right? Has become a nightmare. And yet we find people saying, no, you know, Amar Prem Kahanis, and right, we'll live together 7 lifetimes, lifetime up. This is material world. This is material entanglement. We are not happy with one lifetime. Even that one lifetime, we cannot maintain the relationship so nicely. And we are thinking, no, this will go on and on and on forever and ever. Right? That, oh, my grandfather will come back as my grandson or as my son. This is just dreaming. And actually, we are dreaming, we are thinking, we are saying a dream, but actually it is a nightmare. Because there is no happiness. There is no permanence. We are trying to make this dream permanent. A dream only lasts as long as you are asleep. As soon as you wake up, the dream is finished. Right? But we are thinking, no, this dream of ours will last forever and ever. Therefore, we try to make a temporary situation permanent. And what happens when we do that? Then frustration comes. Just like when you try to swim against the current, you'll get frustrated because the current is too strong. It will sweep you away, no matter how hard you try. Similarly, no matter how hard we try to make these family relations permanent, they are not going to last. Therefore, we have to become intelligent and ask, what is it that is permanent? If this material world is not permanent, if the relations are not permanent, if the body is not permanent, then what is permanent? That is called Atma Tattva. When we realize that we are the soul. The current situation in the material world is like someone decorating a dead body. The body is already dead, but you put nice ornaments on the body and you put nice garments on the body, but it's no use. And the body is dead. So we have to understand that this actually material life is entangling. And the only way to get out of this entanglement is when we come to the platform of understanding where the spirit soul. When we understand where the spirit soul, then what happens? Brahma bhuta prasannatmana sochati takshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim lamate param. When we understand that we are the supreme, we are the spirit soul, then we engage in the supreme personality of Godhead devotional service. Then we engage on that activity which is real. Lord Krishna is the only, that's why he is called Absolute Truth. Lord Krishna is the only thing that is real, everything else is a dream. And we are seeing this dream thinking it being real. Actually no one is our relative, no one is the father, no one is the mother, no one is the wife. It's only we are eternal, right? The Bhagavad Gita gives information about the soul. That the soul is never born, never dies, has been existing, is primeval. So, in that infinite amount of time, we accept a particular body with a particular number of years, and we think that is permanent. If we look at our lifetime, the bodies that we've accepted, there are very many. Which situation are we trying to make permanent? Therefore, we have to understand that actually all these relations, they're there only on a temporary basis. And as Rishabhdev told his sons, that one should not become a father, a king, a spiritual master, a teacher, if you cannot deliver your dependent from the clutches of birth and death. If you cannot deliver your dependent from the clutches of birth and death, then you should not become a father. You should not become a guru, you should not become a teacher, you should not become a king. This is the purpose. When we come across a situation where we are joined with a family, we have some family relations, the purpose is how we can come to this platform of spiritual life. How we can come to this platform of being part of the eternal family in the spiritual world. That is the real family. Therefore, as devotees we are very fortunate because devotees are not, the relation is not based on bodily platform. Or rather it should not be based on bodily platform. Wherever we go, we find the devotee, immediately we can connect. Right. Whether the devotee is from Afghanistan or from Nigeria or from USA, wherever, immediately we can connect with a fellow devotee. Right. Because the relation is not based on something transient but based on Lord Krishna, who is eternal, who is the truth. So when we join with the eternal family and we help others join with the eternal family, then when we go back home, back to Godhead, we can maintain these family relations in service to Lord Krishna, because that is what is real. Therefore human life is meant for understanding this Atma Tattva. This is what human life is meant for, right? Arjuna was also thinking the same thing on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was not seeing, these are my enemies. What was he seeing? Oh, this is my cousin brothers, these are my grandfathers, my uncles, right, my elder brothers. How can I fight them? These are all my relatives. He was trying to protect them. Just like a conditioned soul thinks, no, I have to work for my family, I have to provide for my family, right? I can protect them from death. Just like Arjuna was thinking, I can protect these people from dying. But actually, he couldn't protect. They were already dead. Therefore, Lord Krishna gave him that very important lesson in spiritual life, that everyone is the soul. And the soul neither kills nor is killed. All Arjuna had to do was become Nimitta Matan Bhavasavya Sachin, to become an instrument in the hands of the Lord. So Lord Krishna made Arjuna realize that we cannot protect these people because the body is asat. And we also have to understand the same thing, that there is no permanent situation. We cannot take shelter of family members, of friends, of society, of community, and of the nation. That is going to fail at one point or another. So who should we take shelter of? Lord Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja, aam tam sarva papebhyo mukshayishyami ma sucha. Lord Krishna tells us to take shelter of him. And when we do that, then he will give us protection. He will give us protection. Lord Krishna is actually our real
relative, our real friend. He's always there with us. Suridam Sarabhutanam. He's our Surit, well-wisher, always there, seated together with us. But our misfortune is that we think we are this body. And anything that is connected to the body, then we identify with that, we expand ourselves with that. Right? So then you find people saying, oh, I am Marathi, I am Punjabi, I am Bengali, I am African, I am Indian, I am American, I am man, I am woman, I am father. We expand through the body. We don't realize that our friend is seated with us, and if we join ourselves with our friend, then we'll become happy. Then we'll become protected. So we should take shelter. The only person to take shelter of is the person who is real, Lord Krishna. When we take shelter of Lord Krishna, then anything connected with Lord Krishna, we identify with that, we are able to engage in his devotional service, and then these frustrations of material entanglement, material life, will not come about. We will be able to experience happiness. So in summary, Sukhdev Goswami here,
Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
The Prime Minister is explaining a little bit about Saranga Thakur. Saranga Thakur was an associate of the and he wasn't accepting any disciples. But repeatedly within his heart, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, was giving him instructions. No, you accept a disciple, accept disciples, accept disciples. So after repeatedly hearing this message, Saranga Thakur said, okay, I will accept. He said that the next person I see tomorrow morning, that person I will accept as a disciple. So Saranga Thakur then went to take bath in a river, and while he was taking bath, a dead body floated, right? And that dead body touched his feet. So as soon as the dead body touched Saranga Thakur's feet, it became alive. So then Saranga Thakur said, hey, who are you? What is your name? Then this dead body said, now it was living. So he said, I am Murari. And then Saranga Thakur said, okay, I accept you as my disciple. And so then that disciple was known as Murari Thakur. Saranga Thakur also started the Mamgachi temple in Gudrumadweep. Right. He is the one who established the worship of Radha Gopinath there in the Mamgachi temple. And in Rajalila, he is known as the Gopi by the name of Nandamukhi. So not very much is known about him. Just this one particular incident of how he brought back to life a dead body and accepted him as a disciple. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, you're free to ask. Yes. Yes. So the question is that how can we practically understand that we are the soul and not the body, and how can we experience happiness out of that understanding? I will ask another question in turn. Right. What is it that makes us unhappy? Unhappiness, right? When we say we're not happy, what is it that makes us unhappy? What are we identifying with? Right. Yeah, we are identifying with the body. Right. There's some, if it's too cold and we don't have a sweater, oh, I'm unhappy, I'm feeling cold. Right? But Lord Krishna tells us how to actually practically get out of that bodily concept, right? He says, Matrash Pashashtu Kanteya Sitoshna Sukhadukada Agama Paino Nityastam Titiksasva Bharata. Right? What we perceive as happiness and distress, right, is born of sense perception. We see something that makes us happy, or we see something that makes us sad. It's born of sight. Right? Or we touch something that makes us happy, we touch something that makes us sad. We hear something that makes us happy, we hear something that makes us sad. So our happiness and distress is already on the bodily platform. When we are saying, I am unhappy, I am happy, we are identifying already with what is it that is making us happy or unhappy. It's affecting the body, it's not affecting us. So through knowledge, when we learn to tolerate this so-called happiness and distress, right, then we become eligible for liberation. So the first step is, we follow Lord Krishna's instructions and tolerate happiness and distress. This is external, we have to understand that. Theoretical knowledge comes before practical knowledge. Right. Then, when we come across a situation that is making us happy or making us sad, then we start analyzing, okay, what is it that is making us happy? Is it making me happy or it's making my body happy? We have to ask that question. When we ask that question, then we see, no, actually, you know, I had a nice plate of khichdi prasadam, so my body is happy. Right. And because it was prasadam, I am also happy. Yeah. Because I am accepting Krishna prasadam. But in terms of what is happiness and what is distress, that is relative. Happiness and distress is based on the body. So in practical terms, we should tolerate whatever it is, happiness and distress both, because they're not actually affecting us, they're affecting the body. But when we identify ourselves with the body, then we're thinking, oh, I am happy, I am sad. Therefore Lord Krishna tells us, tolerate. He doesn't tell us tolerate only distress, he tells us tolerate happiness and distress. Because unless we learn to tolerate happiness and distress, we will not understand that we are the spirit soul. And the real happiness that comes from acting on the platform of the spirit soul, that we will not be able to experience. So what is this happiness, the real happiness? When we engage ourselves in devotional service, then we are able to experience real happiness. Right? When we engage in chanting, hearing, doing some practical seva, associating with devotees, then we are able to do activities on the spiritual platform and become happy. The higher taste comes. Param drishtva nivartate. The higher taste comes from engaging in devotional service. When we taste that higher taste, then whatever so-called happiness or distress comes that affects our material environment, our material body, that we are able to tolerate because we have experienced the higher taste in devotional service. Okay. Is that clear? Or yeah. So the first step actually is just tolerate happiness and distress and then engage in devotional service. The higher taste will come and we will be able to experience the real happiness. So we shall end here. Grantra Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai Pai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.